be skipping around this morning in your Bibles, but we'll start. The first scripture we'll be in is Matthew chapter number 28. Hey, brother. Yes, sir. Thank you. I'll read that this morning. Matthew chapter number 28. We'll start there. Continuing in our discipleship study, we've been going over some good information on the local church and salvation and why we should be saved. But today I want to talk about why should I be baptized? Who should be baptized? Why I should be baptized? You know, you'd be surprised at the amount of people that don't understand baptism. I told you the story of just the elderly gentleman that came to me after Miss Shelley's funeral and told me that he agreed with everything I said up here except for one thing. I missed out. I missed the baptism part. You gotta be baptized if you're gonna go to heaven. How many of you know that's just simply not true? Now, I'm not up here preaching against baptism because I 100% believe that you should be baptized after you believe because of obedience unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I want to try to help you understand it just a little bit more this morning. The Lord has helped me understand it a little bit more, and I think it will be good for all of us when those questions come to be able to not only understand but be able to explain to others the importance of baptism, who should be baptized, why we should be baptized, what it's for, and so on and so forth. For many, baptism has caused a question in the back of their minds: for whom was baptism actually intended? Why do we have to be baptized anyway? If we don't, does that mean that we're not going to heaven? While some may not see any importance in these questions, for some believers, these are everyday questions. The purpose of this is to clear up any misunderstanding concerning baptism and to stress the importance of baptism in relation to our daily walk. So number one, why be baptized? As you begin your study of baptism, perhaps the first question that comes to mind is why? Baptism is the first act of obedience that a Christian must take to grow. If baptism is an act of obedience, then the logical question would be, whose commandments are we obeying? I'll give you an example of my own personal life. I got saved when I was 9 years old, and I'll just be honest with you, I was embarrassed that I never got baptized, to the point of when I was kind of dishonest with some people as I got older. They're like, oh, you've been saved, you've been baptized. Oh yeah, I've been saved, been baptized. But look, and I knew that after I had been saved, I had never been baptized. And it wasn't until I went to Bible college at age 20, I told the pastor at the Bible college, I'm like, okay, I'm far enough away from anybody that I know now. I can be honest about this thing. And really, I should have been honest a long time ago, but I just was not. I said, Brother Smith, listen, there's something I got to tell you. I have never been baptized. And the first thing he said, son, does your pastor know that? I said, no, he don't. And I said, I'd appreciate it if you'd just baptize me. He said, well, let's do it this afternoon. So that night at church, he pulled me in there and he said, blah, 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 tonight we're going to baptize Brother Drew. He's been saved for 11 years and never been baptized. And of course, you know, we're on live stream. Everybody's listening. But can I say something to you? Not a single person judged me for doing that. Not one person said, hey, why'd you tell us all these years you've been saved, you've been baptized? Why did you tell us that? I'll tell you what, it was guilt. It was the devil lying to me, saying, hey, you've waited all this time. There's no purpose for you to admit now that you've never been baptized. But look, I'd have died and I'd have went to heaven because I had already believed. I did not need to be baptized for heaven, but I did, just like Jesus when he got baptized. It was to fulfill all righteousness. It was an act of obedience. And I'll tell you what, when I did that, it was like a 1,000-pound weight got lifted off my chest. It was very important because Jesus Christ himself did it, and God commands us to believe and be what? Baptized. And I felt so much better. And it wasn't the water that made me feel better. It was being obedient to Jesus Christ and obedient to the Bible that made me feel so much better, realizing that I was living in disobedience for 11 years. And all of it was because of pride. And pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before what, church? A fall. Listen, if that's you today, if you've been saved for a long time, and maybe people think, oh, well, you've been baptized. Listen, if you have not, let me challenge you to stop listening to the lies of the devil like I did for 11 years. Come forward, admit it, let's take care of that thing. Because I'm telling you, it does matter. Not for heaven, but for obedience. Firstly, Christ has commanded us to be baptized. In our Great Commission passages, he has commanded that the baptizing come before the teaching. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, we should be there. The Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations," then what? "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Christ not only commands us to be saved, but he commands us to be baptized as well. Furthermore, he chose to be baptized himself to set the example for us. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 3. Now, how many know Jesus Christ, who left his throne in heaven to become flesh and dwelt among us? Everybody believe that, right? He left his Father's throne in heaven. He became flesh and dwelt among us. Do you really think if Jesus had chosen not to be baptized, he wouldn't have went back to heaven? Jesus, he was God in the flesh, yet he chose to be baptized, just as he chose to die for yours and my sins. But had he chose not to do that, he'd have still been just as much God then as he is now. Listen, he was still God, but what he was is he was submissive to God's will. And it is God's will that you not only believe, because he said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what, church? Repentance. So that means God did not will that any of us die and go to hell. He willed that every single one of us believe. It does not mean that every single one of us are going to believe, but if he had his way, we would all believe. But here's the deal. Not only does he will that we believe, but he wills that we be baptized. And if Jesus Christ is supposed to be our example to follow, guess what? He got baptized. And let's read about it. Matthew chapter number 3. In verse number 13, the Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John." What's the next three words? "To be baptized of him." Now, could you imagine John the Baptist standing down there baptizing these ordinary people, you know, these converts? It ain't like baptizing one of us, just an old wretched sinner that didn't deserve anything, and then we get baptized because we believe. But here comes the Savior of the world, the perfect sinless Savior, and says, "John, I'm here, and I'm not here to watch a baptism service. I'm here for you to baptize me." Now, how would you feel if you were John in that situation? You'd feel the same way John did. Who in the world am I that I should be baptizing you? Look what happened. "But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so," what's the next word? "Now, for thus it cometh to," what, church? Here it is. This is why. "Fulfill all," what? "Righteousness." "Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized," now notice this, "when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water." That's why we believe in immersion. That's why we believe in a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the only biblical way to baptize anybody. "And straightway came out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the," what? "Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am," what? "Well pleased." So God himself sent that Spirit down, and then, like in a voice, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Why do you think he was well pleased right here? Well, one, he was fulfilling all righteousness, and two, he was being obedient unto God. God commands us to believe and be baptized. Yes, God loves it. The angels rejoice when we believe, when we repent, when a sinner is saved. But hey, I can only imagine when we take that first step of obedience, which is baptism, I can imagine God saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And guess what? You're just relating to Jesus at that moment. The real thing is, when you're saved, God doesn't see you as you are anymore. He sees Jesus Christ. He sees righteousness. He sees his Son, in whom he is, by the way, still well pleased. So I'll ask you this morning, Have you been baptized since you've been saved? Not before you were saved. I've seen lots and lots of people that were baptized because they thought they were saved, and later in life they actually came to the knowledge of, hey, I'm as lost as I've ever been. I'm as hell-bound as I've ever been. Do I need to get re-baptized? Listen, if you got baptized before you were saved, the answer is yes. You need to be baptized after believing. Believe and be what, church? Baptized. He's not asking us to do anything that he himself was not willing to do. Even though Christ commands us to be baptized, that still does not tell us why. As a child, many times the answer, because I told you so, just does not seem to satisfy. Anybody ever been told that and you're like, why? Just give me a reason. Well, therefore, you need to understand the reason for Christ asking you to follow him in baptism. The answer to this can be found in Romans chapter 6. There you will notice that one of the reasons for baptism is to picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. In addition, it is a public profession of your identification in Christ. It is God's way of allowing us to tell the world that we want to identify with Christ and with his local church. Secondly, Christ is not the only one who has commanded us to be baptized. If he were the only one, guess what? That would have been enough. Yet we also find that Peter commanded the early believers to be baptized. Look in the book of Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter number 10 this morning. Acts chapter number 10, verse number 46 through 48. The Bible says, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the what, church? As well as we." In other words, what he's saying is, these men and women have believed. Who can forbid them to be baptized right now? The very first thing you should do once you're saved, as soon as you can, is to be baptized. Thirdly, you'll find that not only Christ and Peter commanded believers to be baptized, but that the early Christian ministers commanded it as well. Look at Acts chapter number 22. Acts chapter number 22 and verse number 46. Acts chapter 22, verse number 12. Acts 22. Verse number 12, the Bible says, "And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a what? Good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." Here it is. "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be what, church?" Now this is right after Saul's conversion. He had been saved and he said, "Arise and be what? Baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Baptism is just a part of the Christian life. It does not make us any more saved. It does not make God like us any better. It is simply the first step in your Christian life. Now that you understand the reason behind baptism, let's look at some of the characteristics of baptism. Acts chapter number 8. We're going to go through some scripture here. We'll take our time. Acts chapter number 8, verse number 26 through 39. Acts chapter number 8. Verses number 26 through 39. Number one, baptism was always done in water by immersion. Baptism was always done in water by immersion. I had one of my friends, he's in the Russian Orthodox Church back in Alaska. That's one of the big religions there, and the native tribes is Russian Orthodox. And he called me, and they had their first baby, and he's about 5 months old now. And he FaceTimed me the other day, had the little baby looking at me in the thing, just smiling. He said, "Drew, are you going to come to my son's baptism?" I said, "Raymond, I don't think so, pal." He said, "Why not?" I said, "Because And I got to explain to him, you know, I've explained it to him before, but that's just what they do. They sprinkle those babies at birth, and they make them, and they grow up, and they think, yeah, you got baptized as a baby, you're going to die, and you're going to go to heaven someday because you got sprinkled on the head with a rag in a building by somebody who doesn't understand the Bible. And folks, how sad is that? That's a very, very sad thing to think that little baby at 5 months old is going to grow up thinking, if he dies, he's going to go to heaven because why? He's got a picture to prove that he had been sprinkled when he was a baby. That's what he's going to rest his salvation on. Can I say, folks, that's why we send missionaries out to places we can't get to, into tribes unknown. Listen, you think people are hard around here? You ought to be in some of them countries and some of them villages where those people are, where all they know is what they know. They've never heard of Jesus at all. You know, it's hard enough to convert somebody who lives in the Bible Belt, most less somebody who's never heard the name of Jesus. Most less somebody who, if they believe, their whole family will forsake them. I mean, I've heard stories after story. I've met people in our church in Alaska. We have a young lady from Kazakhstan. We sent a missionary to Kazakhstan, and he's over there now. And I'm telling you, over there, everything is one way or the highway. And I'm telling you, this young lady chose Jesus Christ, and her whole family forsook her. Now, later on, they came back around, thanks to God, because she had decided. She came over to America, and she was working in our town there in Seward, and she met a young man in our church, and this young man was a saved boy, and they hooked up, and later, thank goodness, she got saved from the missionary over there. Her family had forsook her for a while. Well, she went back to Kazakhstan, and she told her mom and dad, she's like, listen, I met a boy in America, and this made everything even worse at the moment, but thank God, through a lot of prayer, her mom and dad were like, okay, listen, we're gonna have something to do with you, but you're going to get married in Kazakhstan. And I'll tell you something, that was one of the most beautiful weddings I've ever seen. Her mom and dad threw on the biggest ceremony, but they had to do it based on their religion, their stuff, if they were going to be a part of it. But listen, I'm telling you, people give up a lot to know Jesus Christ. Imagine living in a place where if you say, yes, I want to go to church, your family won't be there waiting on you when you come home. Imagine your wife and your kids and your mom and your dad and your brothers and your sisters hating you because you have walked away from everything they've taught you to be right. See, we don't have to deal with that around here, do we? But folks, those missionaries that we send out, they're over there begging individuals not just to come to Christ, but they're having to talk them through why it's more important to forsake your family and come to Jesus than die and go to hell. Folks, it's very real what we're dealing with here as Christians. Baptism was always done in water by immersion. Acts chapter 8, verse 26, the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Look at this now. And he said, how can I accept what? Some man should what, church? And he desired Philip that he would go up with him, or that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. You remember the book of Isaiah? Folks, Philip's reading the Bible to this man. He's telling him about Jesus right here. This is incredible. Verse 33, in his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him, who, church? Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain what? What is it? Water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou, what, church? with all thine heart thou mayest. And he answered and said, I what? Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to what? Stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And they were come up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. You see how quick the man got converted? He believed. He said, hey, there's some water right here. What does suffer me to be baptized right now? And Philip said, all you have to do is believe. And he said, I believe. And Philip said, whoa, stop the chariot. Let's go down right now and baptize this man right now. So we see that baptism was always done by in water, by immersion. Another scripture you can read is Acts chapter 10, verse 47. Number two, there is only one baptism. Look at Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Just to the right in your Bibles, just a few chapters. Ephesians chapter number 4. Verse number 5. Pretty simple scripture. One Lord, one faith, one what, church? Wow. So how many ways are there to be baptized right? Just one. Number three, baptism always follows conversions. Acts chapter number 2. I'm going to unplug here in just a couple of minutes. Acts chapter number 2, and verse number 41. Acts 2 and verse 41. This is when 3,000 souls had been saved here. Then they that gladly received his word were what, church? And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And you can look at another scripture, Acts 18, verse number 8. That just backs up another reference of baptism following belief or conversion. Number four. And lastly this morning, baptism is an identification with a local church. Stay right there where you were in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42. The Bible says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking bread and prayer. So two ordinances that we believe as a local New Testament church: one, the Lord's Supper, and two, believers what? Baptism. But not just baptism, believers' baptism, right? So it is an ordinance that identifies with a local church. While these are just a few of the characteristics, it is enough to show that baptism is an act of obedience by immersion immediately following salvation. Sprinkling or any other method is not taught in the Bible. Immersion is the biblical method of baptism, for it is the only method that can picture the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. In 2 weeks when we come back, we'll pick up on who is to be baptized. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word and for your truth, Lord. Thank you this morning for meeting with us. Thank you for allowing us to just open your word, Lord, and open something that to some is so simple, and to others, though, Lord, it might just be that they just need to hear a little bit more. And Lord, we know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we're so thankful that every single time we hear the word of God, our faith is increased. Lord, bless us in this next hour. Bless Brother Scott as he comes to lead music. Be with the musicians, Lord. Bless the preaching in the next hour. Lord, be with those who are on their way here. Keep them safe. Lord, let them get here into a warm building. Thank you, Lord, for a warm building this morning. Bless our teens, our kids this morning, our programs. And Lord, everything that's done, honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed. Hey, Brother Kevin. I'm good. How are you, bud?